Good day, tokers and tokettes and non-toking lovers of liberty. I'm Radical Russ, and today is Saturday, June 20th, 2015, and it's got to be 420 somewhere in the world. Let's go. No, wait, we have a presentation to do here. I'm here from 420 Radio. We are the NPR of THC. If you are into the news, the information, the education, the opinions, the culture about marijuana, the people who use it, the cannabis community, and all about reform and legalization, we're the ones you should be listening to. You got a flyer there on your seat, and on the flip side is the 420 Radio information. Now, a lot of people, 420 Radio, what is that, satellite, FM, AM? No, we're out of Portland, Oregon, and we're internet radio that you pick up on your smartphone. So if you go to that 420radio.buzz, you can download an app for your iPhone or for your Android, and you can listen 24 hours a day. We got shows from all over the country covering every facet of marijuana reform. We also have music shows late night of all different types of genres. So I encourage you to check it out, including my show, which is the Russ Belville Show, 5 days a week. That's right, 5 days a week, 2 hours a day, I bring you the latest news, interviews, opinion, information, analysis, and live talk. You can call in live, toll-free, get your questions answered. So check that out, the Russ Belville Show. So the presentation today is called The Marijuana Legalization State of the Union. And the idea behind this is to take a look at where we've been, where we're going, right? Because you don't know your history, you're doomed to repeat it. Want to know what are the trends in legalization? What are the different ways people are suggesting we legalize? I mean, it used to be just, hey, let's legalize. Now it's like, how are we going to legalize? What's the tax going to be? Who's going to grow it? What does the license cost? So we're going to cover a little bit about that all across the United States. I've been doing this for 10 years. I feel blessed to be doing this because when I started this in 2005, there were 13 medical marijuana states, and the Gallup poll for marijuana legalization was 36%. Now, of course, we have 24 medical marijuana states, and the Gallup polls are showing over 50%, 51% one time, 53 here, 54 there. We'll talk a little bit about that, too. We're also going to talk about who are the cannabis consumers, because I think there's a misconception, you know, the mainstream thinks that we're all a certain type of people, but really, cannabis use broaches all ethnic backgrounds, all age groups, all professions. We're going to take a look at some of those demographics as well. We'll also give a look to what's happening in the states that want to try legalization and the ones that want to try medical. So here we go. By the way, the entire presentation will be audio recorded, and you can pick it up at radicalrust.com or 420radio.org. All right, so here's our first shot that we're going to take a look at. And this slide's a little too magnified. But what this is a look at how many marijuana consumers there are in America. 25 million adults, according to the latest government survey in 2013, there are 25 million cannabis consumers. There are more people smoking pot in America than there are Texans. You know, they say don't mess with Texas, right? Don't mess with tokers. But what do you call a cannabis consumer? Like, I smoke pot every day, multiple times a day. Some people might smoke it once at their college reunion or something. Right? So who really counts as a cannabis consumer? Well, the government breaks this down as well. There are about 7 million people who are rare consumers. They consume once a year to up to maybe five times a year. There's another 5.6 million that are occasional consumers, maybe the once a month types. Casual, about 2.2 million of them. Maybe these are the once every other week types. Regular consumers, 3.2. Those are about once a week. Frequent consumers, about 2.7 million. Those are the multiple times a week. And right here, daily, 3.8 million Americans age 21 and older are consuming marijuana on a daily basis. None of these people are criminals, nor do they deserve to be treated that way. Now, we can also break this down by age groups. When we break it down by age groups, our first age group here is the 18 to 24 age group. And I got the same breakdown of daily, frequent, regular. So the darker green is the more you toke, right? These are your once a year guys. Here's your daily people, right? And this is millions of people. So there's almost a million people in this demographic, which is 21 to 24. Age 21 to 24, there's about a million people smoking every day. Here's the 25 to 34 demographic, right? Your post-college years, about 8 million of them total, about 1.29 million using every day. Your next graphic is your middle age, 35 to about 49. Middle-aged folks, my age range, 0.78 million of us token every day, about 5.5 million total. Here's your senior generation, 50 to 64. Right? They're starting to retire, about 0.61 million there. And these are the older folks above 65, and you add them all up, and there's only 2/3 of a million of them. So really, there's this fall off at about age 65 of people who smoke pot, and that's because they come from the pre-World War II generation, right? Pot wasn't a thing to them, right? You get to this generation, and this is like the 60s, the flower power and all that, so they still smoke pot. And I think an interesting thing to note, because there's a lot of people open up pot shops and starting up their businesses in the marijuana legalization, and they aim everything at young people, right? Because they think, well, young people, those are the ones that are smoking, right? Because check out all those young people. Look at all these young people smoking pot, right? But the fastest growing demographic is the 50 and older demographic. In 2012, there was 2 teenage tokers, that's 12 to 17, for every 1 over 50. 10 years later, in 2012, there were still the 2 teenage tokers, but now there's 3 senior tokers over 50. Senior tokers went from less than 1 million to 3.1 million in a decade. Teen tokers stayed at about 900,000. Now, another way to look at these numbers are male, female. And the reason this is important is because when we do our surveys on marijuana legalization, you do the polls, men support legalization about 10 points more than women do. Men almost always support legalization. Women, they're like close. It's like 48, 49, depending on the state. Part of this has to do with who's smoking pot. The blue bars represent men. The pink bars represent women. And again, same the rare, every now and then smokers, it's pretty even. But when you get to the everyday smokers, it's twice as many guys to gals. It's a 2-to-1 ratio. When you're like me and you smoke marijuana every day, there's 2 boys for every girl. So ladies, if you're looking for a fella, smoke more weed. Now, another graph, and gosh, I wish this was a little better focused on that projector, but I don't have my tech people here. Another thing that we've got here is where are people smoking pot? This is a map of the United States by annual marijuana use. That's like how many people, and again, we're always, in all these charts, we're talking 21 and older, because that's what's getting legalized, is 21 and older. It shouldn't be. It should be 18. If you can serve in the war and vote for president, you should be able to smoke a doobie. We'll get there. Right now, it's 21 and older. So for 21 and older, the red states are the ones that are 7 to 8% of their adult population smokes pot at least once a year. The purple states, on the other side, 19 to 20% of their population smokes pot at least once a year. So I'd like to brag a little that my home state of Oregon is the most pot-smoking state in the country. 20.9% of Oregon adults are smoking at least yearly, 1 out of 5 of us. And the least pot-smoking state is Kansas. Does that surprise anybody? 7.5% in Kansas. And they're kind of mad because there's 19.3% there in Colorado. So a lot of that cross-border traffic happening. But you can tell by this map that pot use is generally a Western thing and generally a Northeastern thing. One thing I should make clear is these are people that are willing to talk to an anonymous pollster from the federal government who calls them by surprise on the telephone and asks them if they're breaking state and federal law. Maybe some of them are lying, right? Maybe some folks aren't so keen. You know, you're living in Texas. Maybe you don't answer that question as much as the person living in California. So, yeah, there is some give and take with these variables. Now, another thing that we get as we try to legalize marijuana is that our opponents say, won't somebody think of the children? My God, won't you think of the children? And one of the excuses they give us for marijuana being illegal is to send the right message to the kids. That's one. And number 2 is to keep the price of marijuana high. so that it's harder for kids to get a hold of it. But one of the things that we find when we take a look at the demographics is that the price of weed and how many people are using it don't really go together. They don't correlate. This is something called a scatter plot. And what it does, it takes all 50 states. The diamonds are their adult use, and the squares are the teenage use. And it's an axis, right? This is how expensive the weed is. You go farther right, the weed is more expensive. And this is how many people smoke weed. You go farther up that graph, it's more weed smoking. So over here in Vermont, weed costs $374 an ounce, and yet 13.2% of their kids are using it. So it seems like the whole expensive marijuana makes kids not use it argument doesn't really work, because over here, North Dakota, weed's even more expensive, but only 5.6% of the kids use it. So it doesn't seem like the price makes any damn bit of difference at all. On the other side, Oregon, lowest price in the nation, by the way, $208 an ounce, 8.9% teenage use. But Nevada also has 8.9% teenage use, and it costs more. Mississippi costs a whole lot more, and it's got 4.4% use, but Connecticut costs about the same, and it's got 9.3% use. So it's all over the place. Normally, when there's a correlation in these things, you'd see this nice little lineup, right? There'd be this little stair step. They'd all line up as it got more expensive, or this way, I'm sorry, as it got more expensive, less kids would use it. But that's not happening. It's all over the place. So don't let them fool you about, you know, oh, we're thinking about the kids, because the price of weed doesn't matter to a kid. Seems to matter where he lives, or she. All right, so let's talk about legalization. Now that we got our demographics down, we'll take a look at the states that have legalized marijuana. As we're all aware, Washington and Colorado started this train rolling in 2012 when they passed marijuana legalization. I was actually there in Seattle the night that legalization passed in Seattle, and the next day I had a gig in Denver. So I went to bed in one legal state and woke up in another legal state on the first days they were legal. I thought that was pretty cool. Now in 2014, we added a couple more legal states. Oregon, my home state, and Alaska legalized marijuana. And there's something very interesting about what happened in the intervening 2 years. When it was 2012, Colorado, let's just say Colorado got it right. Colorado did really good with their legalization, and part of the reason they were able to is because their medical marijuana was really regulated. So they already kind of had something to plug into. They already had a system going. They already had the bureaucrats. It was all ready to go. Washington State, though, not so good. And what happened with Washington State that was really offensive to a lot of people is their legalization proposed no home grow and a 5-nanogram DUI. And what that means is if you get pulled over by a cop, he takes your blood. If it's over 5 nanograms of active THC, not the metabolites, but active, you're a DUI. Doesn't matter if you're the best driver on the planet. Doesn't matter if you didn't do anything wrong. If they get 5 nanograms out of your blood, it's a DUI. Just like if you blow 0.08 on a breathalyzer, it's a DUI for alcohol. And a lot of people complained about that because they said, we don't want to set a precedent. We don't want to set it up. If Washington passes without home grow and with a per se DUID, the next states will do that. The next states didn't do that. Both Oregon and Alaska allow you to grow plants at home and don't have a per se DUID. This is an important concept to keep in mind because in a second we're going to talk about medical marijuana. It doesn't work that way with medical, but with legalization, it seems to be working. It seems to be getting better every time we pass it. But we've got another problem on the horizon. Oh, what? Let me get to the differences first. Sorry, I jumped ahead of myself. So here's the 4 states that have legal weed right now. Colorado, Washington, Oregon, Alaska. Public possession. Every state lets you have an ounce. You can have an ounce on your person. That's cool. Home possession's a little different, though. In Colorado, they did it right. Colorado says you can have the results of your harvest. You can grow your plants, and however much you get off your plants, that's legal to have at the grow site. can't go taking a pound with you outside to the park, but you can keep what you got at the grow site. And what's really cool about that is, if you think about it, that's an infinite limit. Son, what are you doing with 200 pounds here? Why, officer, those are the results of my harvests, plural. I've harvested many, 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 many times. That's why I have 200 pounds, officer. So in Colorado, there's really not a really enforceable home limit, which is really cool. But the other states, Washington just lets you possess an ounce at home. Well, that's fine. You can't grow in Washington anyway. Oregon lets you have 8 ounces at the house, per house, not per person. So if you live with 4 other roommates, the 5 of you can have 8 ounces total. Well, I know guys that can get 8 ounces off of one plant. There's this guy right here can grow 2 pounds off a plant, man. So that's going to be tough when we harvest. It's like we're suddenly going to be over the limit, man. And Alaska has a 4-ounce limit at the home, but it wasn't part of their legalization. Alaska's a special case. Alaska in 1975 had a Supreme Court case there called Raven v. Alaska. This guy Raven sued the state. He got busted for weed in his home, right? Alaska's constitution has this amazing privacy clause. It's a stricter privacy right than any other state in the nation has. And the Supreme Court said the minor criminality of having weed and plants does not overrule the sanctity of a man's house. So if it's in your house, you can have up to 25 plants and 1/4 pound. And that's under their constitution, not under their legalization. Their legalization only legalized an ounce, but it doesn't matter because you have the privacy up to 1/4 pound. Infused edibles. Now, Colorado and Alaska, I think, messed this up, right? Washington and Oregon let you have a pound of edibles and let you have a 6-pack of liquids. But with Colorado and Alaska, they let you have 1 ounce of marijuana in the edible. So, like, you got a plate of brownies. How would you know how much weed was in those brownies unless you'd made them and put the ounce in yourself? Better yet, how would the cop know? They wouldn't, right? So that's kind of a weird standard. Concentrates, you're allowed to have, and this is wrong, actually. Washington, you're allowed to have 7 grams, so I need to fix that slide, but 1 ounce in the other states of concentrate. Personal production, 6 plants per person in Colorado, 3 mature, 3 immature. Oregon, 4 plants, and we're still working on this. We don't know if they mean 4 mature plants or just 4 plants. If it's just 4 plants, we got a problem. But 4 mature plants we can work with. And in Oregon, that's per house. That's per residence. So if you live with 5 roommates, you get 4 plants total in the house. Alaska, like I said earlier, you get 25 plants per person in your home because of the Supreme Court decision. That's most of the differences. There are some others. Oregon, our legislature's still tinkering with the law. We're not quite sure exactly what's all going to happen. Okay, so I like this chart. This chart is a chart of marijuana arrests. This is to explain why it's so important that we continue to legalize in these states. There are 25 million people in this graph. If you add all those years up, 25 million people have been arrested for marijuana since Richard Nixon declared war on us. 25 million. Remember when I said there's 25 million tokers in America? There's an arrest for every single one of us active tokers that has happened in the war on drugs era. And the other thing I like to point out is sometimes us on the weed legalization side, we think, well, the Democrats are better than the Republicans. They've both sucked on this issue. Look at this, Reagan and Bush. Everybody thinks Nancy Reagan, just say no, right? They must have locked up a lot of potheads, right? Well, actually, the annual arrests from the beginning of the Reagan administration were less by the time they got to the end of the Bush administration. Overall marijuana arrests went down those 12 years. Cocaine arrests went through the roof. That was the Miami Vice years, man. But marijuana went down under those Republicans and under, I did not inhale, I did not like it, never did it again, under Bill Clinton. Look at that. Marijuana arrests doubled in the 8 years under Bill Clinton. Now, that's not to castigate Democrats either. Both parties have sucked on this. Because after Clinton, you had Bush, and they went up under Bush, and under Obama, the first time in history we've had four straight years where marijuana arrests have gone down. Now, how much of that is for Obama? Well, Obama has let the states legalize. He could have sent the DEA in there. He could have filed lawsuits. He just kind of turned his back and said, yeah, legalize Colorado, whatever you're going to do. And because of that, we've seen all those arrests go down. So it works on both parties. Also, keep in mind, these are all the marijuana arrests that happened in 2013. 7 out of 8 of them were possession arrests. 7 out of 8 marijuana arrests are possession. Only 1 out of 8 is for growing or selling. So it's mostly consumers. And this is different than any other drug. If you look up any other drug, it's about 3 out of 4. So we are persecuted twice as badly as any other drug consumer. And of all the drugs out there, the red there, that's heroin and cocaine. That's other non-narcotics. Those are some synthetic drugs. Half of all drug possession arrests were for marijuana. So when they say war on drugs, it's a little bit of a misnomer. It's really a war on marijuana. You take marijuana out of that war, there's not enough profit to fight that war. The other thing, too, is when you lock up a pothead and put him in prison, you can put him to work for 17 cents an hour for a corporation. Tweakers, not so much. Not really that good at the job stuff, right? They want to lock us up. It's slave labor in this country, in our prison systems. All right, let's take a look at legalization in 2015. What? I thought elections were like 2016, 2018, 20. Yeah, there are those elections, but in 2015, Ohio will be voting on legalization. Now, it's not official yet, but the people behind the ballot initiative in Michigan have already gotten $20 million in the bank to work with. They've got pledges of up to $300 million to do the campaign, and they've gotten over 800,000 signatures when they need 300,000. It's going to be on the ballot. Now, if you'd have gone back to me in 2005 when I started and said, Russ, I'll bet you $1 million Ohio legalizes before California, when I stopped laughing, I would have taken that bet. But this may actually happen, folks. Ohio might legalize before California. But it's not without controversy. The people that are doing this legalization, they're called Responsible Ohio. And it's this guy who's a political wizard. He came up with this great idea of how to get the funding for legalization. Now, the legalization he's proposing is pretty good. An ounce at the house, or an ounce in public, that's cool. 4 plants and 8 ounces home grow, like we have in Oregon. But you got to get a license. You got to pay $50 for a license. That kind of sucks. Not as bad as a jail cell, but it kind of sucks. It would establish medical marijuana. There'd actually be medical marijuana in the state of Ohio. And not this newfangled no-plant extract marijuana you've seen lately. Real medical marijuana where patients can grow plants and use buds. There'd be pot shops. You go shop at a pot shop in Cleveland or Cincinnati or Toledo or wherever else. But, and here's the big, glaring, life-size but in this particular equation. The way the guy got the $20 million to float the initiative is he went to 10 rich investor groups and said, if you put up $2 million, you get to be one of the 10 state growers. 10 state growers, that's all. No one else can grow marijuana commercially and sell it, but these 10 state growers, and not just that, they're written into the Constitution. Like their plots of land, you know, Northwest 25 to Northwest, you know, the whole plot of land is written into the Constitution. So once these guys are the 10 Ohio growers, that's it. Now, you can run a pot shop. You can open up a pot shop and make money. You can open up a bakery and make marijuana-infused edibles. You can have a concentrate processing factory. You can own a testing lab, but only 10 growers. And this has really divided a lot of people in the cannabis community as to whether or not this is something that's worth supporting. Some people say we should wait till 2016. There's a lot of other groups in Ohio that are fighting. Ohioans to End Prohibition, Responsible Ohioans for Cannabis, the Ohio Rights Group. I think there's another I'm forgetting. But none of those four groups have any money worth speaking of, really. They've never gathered more than one-third of the signatures they've ever needed on any ballot initiative they've ever proposed. And there's four of them. So it's a toss-up here. Where do you bet on this? Do you bet, hey, legalization, this is like, it doesn't come around very often. You ought to take it and run while you can. Or do you bet, this one's not good enough. Let's let a whole bunch more arrests happen. Let's let some more medical marijuana patients die, and maybe something better will come along in 2016. I'm just glad I don't have to live in Ohio and officially make that decision, because that's a real stumper for me. But there you go. That's what's going on in Ohio. All right, let's look at legalization in the big year, 2016. We're going to be voting on president in 2016, so a lot of people are going to come out. And there's one state we're sure of, Nevada. Nevada's already on the ballot. They will be voting on legalization in 2016. I can't wait for my next trip to Vegas. Vegas, weed, slot machines. Oh, can you imagine sitting in front of the Bellagio High watching all those fountains? That'd be awesome. Anyway, Nevada's definitely voting on it. And then these states in yellow have a good shot, but it's all up in the air still. Like I said, Nevada's on the ballot, and what they're proposing is you can possess an ounce of marijuana and an eighth ounce of concentrate. You could cultivate 6 marijuana plants at your house and possess the results of the harvests. Results of the harvest, infinite possession, yay. And 12 plants max at a home. So, like, if there was 2 of you in the house, you could have 12. If there's 3 of you in the house, you could have 12. If there's 100 of you in the house, you could have 12, right? Max of 12. There'd be marijuana retail outlets. They'd limited by county with a total of 132 of them statewide. The way the way Nevada counties work, there'd be 80 in the county for Vegas, which is Clark County. There'd be 20 in the Reno County, which is Washoe County. There would be 4 in the Carson City County. And then every other county only has 2 max because they're really sparsely populated. And Nevada would set up a 15% excise tax on weed. Is that a bad tax? Well, Washington's is 25% plus 25% plus 25%, so it's better than Washington. Colorado's is 15% plus 10%, but that's getting lowered to 8%, so 15 plus 8%, so it's still better than that. Oregon's is proposed at 20%, so it's still better than that. But 15% is a pretty high tax still. I'd like to see that a little lower. California. You've probably met some of the folks out here that are proposing various California initiatives. There's a lot of them. It's hard to keep track. Currently, there's the California Craft Cannabis Initiative. It would let 6 plants, 100 plants for a craft grower, and greater than 100 plants would be a commercial grower. The idea behind this one is to let's set up a system where there's small craft growers and there's big, you know, Budweiser Walmart growers or whatever. So the idea behind this, and this comes from some folks in Northern California, is to try to protect the small farmer, when I think that's a good idea. The Compassionate and Sensible Access Act is constitutional protection for medical cannabis. This would put in the California Constitution your right to medical cannabis. That would fix up a lot of the local bans, the Fresnos, and those kind of places that don't let you cultivate. The Marijuana Control Legalization and Revenue Act, MCLR, would let you have 6 immature plants, 6 mature plants, and performing extractions would be legal. You could make your own extracts. The California Cannabis Hemp Initiative, CCHI, sometimes known as the Jack Herer Initiative, is by far the most expansive one proposed. It would allow 99 plants, 12 pounds possession, maximum 10% tax, and free all the POWs, all the nonviolent pot prisoners that are currently serving time for what's going to be legal. Yeah, all for that. And by the way, check out a group called the Human Solution International, THSINTL.org. They work with a lot of those people. Guys, another lifeforpot.com is another place to check out. Guys doing life sentences for pot. organizations deserve your support. And finally, the Coalition for Cannabis Policy Reform. This is the one that's got the big orgs behind it, like Drug Policy Alliance, some of the folks from the Prop 19 campaign, and so on. And it's still really early as far as this goes, but California is such a big state, it's going to cost so much money that the only thing that bothers me, I mean, I love proposals. I love something from all of these proposals. I just wish there was all just on one. You know, I wish we could all come together and support one and move forward with it. That's not the nature of politics. Everybody has different opinions. But we'll see what shakes up out of this. We'll get something to vote on in California in 2016 for sure. Massachusetts. We've got a group called Bay State Repeal. An ounce with a quarter ounce of hash. A tenth of an ounce of oil. How do you measure a tenth of an ounce of a dab? I don't know how that works. All right. They'll have pot shops and low taxes. Marijuana Policy Project is proposing also for Massachusetts, but no real details yet on what they're going to do. And the legislature has considered just legalizing it. This is a real cool thing that's happening now, is we're so successful in the initiative states that we can turn to the legislatures and say, hey, if you don't legalize it, we will. And then that kind of threatens them to like, oh, shit, if we don't do what we want, real conservative, they'll do something really liberal. Let's be, you know, we'll see if that works. But in Boston, their mayor, or their governor, I'm sorry, has vowed to veto it. I guess it's not Boston. It's capital Massachusetts. Anyway, they're vowing to veto it. So it's really not gone anywhere in the legislature. It's going to come down to one of these two groups. Arizona. We also have two groups. This is pretty amazing to me. It used to be, you know, rare that anyone would put anything forth to legalize. Now we got multiple groups trying to legalize. One group is another marijuana policy project group, the Regulation and Taxation of Marijuana Act, an ounce with 5 grams of concentrate, 6 plants with a 12-plant max, and localities may ban. So if your city council don't like weed, they can ban you growing weed. It wouldn't ban you possessing weed. That would still be legal, but they could ban you growing it. Another group has formed that doesn't like that. They're called Arizonans for Mindful Legalization. They'd allow you to have an ounce, including concentrate, so no difference there, 12 plants with no limit of how many in the household. So if you got 3 roommates, you could have 48 plants, 12 for each of you, right? No license limits, as in localities couldn't ban, but the voters could ban. Like, if they can put it on the ballot and get a majority to ban it, then it could still be banned, but the voters have to ban it, not just 3 guys on a city council. Arizona looks like it's got a good chance of being on the ballot. Michigan, 2 different groups here as well. The Michigan Cannabis Coalition proposes you can either have 2 plants, okay, the minimum is 2 plants that you can have, but your city can ban it, and if they do, you get 0. Or your city can up it to 4. So it's going to be city by city, like 1 city, 0, another city, 2, another city, 4, depending on where you're at. There'd be no possession limit. You can have as much weed as you want. You can just only have 2 plants or 4 plants, but you can have as much weed as you want. And they would set up a commercial system, right? There'd be pot shops, there'd be retailers, all that. But the tax, they haven't set the tax yet. They're going to create this cannabis commission that would then set the tax later. Michigan Cannabis, or Comprehensive Cannabis Law Reform Committee, the longest acronym of them all, the MCCLRC, 12 plants, 2.5 ounces, and then a system with a 10% tax. The state of Maine has 2 different legalization options going. 2.5 ounces for legalized Maine, 6 plants, 12 per household, with social clubs. This is the first of these legalizations that's actually thinking ahead to the idea of, hey, if it's legal to smoke pot, why can't we gather together and do it together somewhere? Not sit in our house, right? So yeah, social clubs and a 10% tax. MPP's group wants to have 1 ounce, 6 plants, and the results of the harvest with a 10% tax. Vermont. In Vermont, they've got a bill that's gone through their legislature that would treat alcohol like marijuana. They commissioned a study by the RAND Corporation to figure out what are the different ways to legalize. They actually came up with 12 different ways governments could legalize. Don't have time to go into all 12 here, but it goes all the way from prohibition all the way to legalization and everything in between. Coffee shops, collective models, all those different models. And then there is a group, MPP's got a group in Vermont, and they may try to do an initiative as well. Yes? Oh, so, yes, yes. Thank you for catching that, yes. This seems like a misprint, doesn't it? To treat alcohol like marijuana? No, there was I forgot the story. There was these lawmakers who were pissed off because they kept trying to push this legalization bill, treat marijuana like alcohol, treat marijuana, never went through. So they decided as a joke to make a bill, treat alcohol like marijuana. You only get to buy 1 6-pack. Bars are illegal. You have to drink it at home, right? Every limitation on, and it kind of makes a good point. Like, they don't limit us how much beer we can buy. Anyway, yeah, thanks for catching that. I almost forgot to mention it. And for the rest of America, Rhode Island might have something happening. There's a Regulate Rhode Island group that's another MPP group. And then there's Missouri. It's like, if you ever ask me, like, which state might shock us all, it's going to be Missouri. Missouri's got a really strong activist group called Show Me Cannabis down there, and they've been making progress in the cities, like city decrims here and there. I think they've got a good chance at putting something together for 2016. And also Texas. And you wouldn't think Texas, right? They got to be some weed-hating mofos in Texas, right? But actually, Texas has this kind of Republican, libertarian, leave me alone, government mind your own business kind of attitude. There's a group in Texas called Republicans Against Marijuana Prohibition, founded by the 84-year-old mother of Richard Lee from Oaksterdam. Yeah, they're actually making Republicans Against Marijuana Prohibition. They're making, and they showed up at CPAC. They were at the Conservative Political Action Committee amongst all the other conservative Tea Party groups and gun groups and this and that with Republicans Against Marijuana Prohibition. Amazing. And this year, there was a representative from East Texas who proposed marijuana deregulation. Not decrim. Not legalization. Take the word marijuana out of the law books entirely. No marijuana law. Marijuana would be treated like dandelions. What's the law on dandelions? There is no law on dandelions. This guy, this East Texas rep, very conservative Christian dude, proposes take marijuana out of the law. And when they asked him why, he said, well, I figure that marijuana is not a mistake that God made that government is supposed to clean up. Amen. Hell yeah. And I was shocked when I saw this because I'm like, man, you couldn't pass that in Eugene, Oregon. And you're going to pass that in Texas? Well, it died. It died in the Texas legislature. But it actually made it through its first committee 5-2. Republican 5-2 majority voted for that. Marijuana is not a mistake God made that government needs to fix. So, man, Texas might happen. Just might happen. And why I think we are winning. Last little bit for this presentation. This is a collection from 1969 to 2000. Well, it's 15. You can't see the last year on there. Of every poll on marijuana legalization. From every group that's ever asked, NBC, ABC, CBS, Fox, Gallup, Pew, SurveyUSA, Quinnipiac, Rasmussen, blah, 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 blah. Every pollster I could find. And what you find is this. When the war on drugs started in 1969, support for marijuana legalization was 12%. 1 out of 8 people supported legalization. Throughout the 70s, Normal founded, High Times started, marijuana got to be more popular. They decriminalized in 11 states, and legalization got as high as 30% support. But then, right around here, marijuana and cocaine did this terrible little dance. From 1978 through 1981, you can actually find covers and centerfolds of High Times magazine with lines of cocaine. I've got the December issue of this really attractive woman laying on a bed with a pipe and some weed, and a mirror with some lines on it. And what kind of happened here is back in the day, back in those times, man, cocaine and weed, they were just party drugs. You smoke some weed, you do some coke, go to Studio 54, smoke some weed to come down, everything was cool, everything was chill. But then in the early 80s, Richard Pryor set himself on fire freebasing. John Belushi overdosed on speedballs, and Len Bias from the Boston Celtics died of a cocaine-related heart attack. And all of the Miami Vice stuff started happening, and the warfare, the gangs blew up. Freeway Ricky Ross in L.A. doing shipping or trafficking $3 million worth of cocaine per day, as directed to him by the CIA, which was funneling it out of Central America to help fund their anti-Contra wars. So what happened is marijuana was popular, and then as cocaine started to, you know, make all these headlines of how awful it was, well, the two were kind of tied together. Drugs were drugs as far as everyone was concerned, and then moms started showing up on the 60 Minutes showing gas mask bongs and the terrible things the kids were doing, and weed support dropped all the way back down to 16% by the end of the Reagan administration. 16%. But then, right around here, early 90s, right here in the Bay Area, some wonderful people, Brownie Mary, Dennis Perrone, started cannabis buyers clubs, started helping the AIDS patients using medical cannabis to alleviate their conditions. People started thinking of marijuana not as a drug, but as a medicine. And once that started happening, the polls started going up. Right about here, I did not inhale or have sexual relations with that woman. Once he got elected, people went, wait a minute, the president smoked pot? Well, what's the, hey? And so this kept going up and up and up. And then right there about 2000, I was worried. Polls were about 33%. About one out of three people supported legalization. I was worried because Clinton was out and George W. Bush was in. I'm thinking, oh no, here we go again. Just like before, when Reagan came in, we're going to see this conservative come in and it's all going to crash down again. But this time it didn't. It kept going up and up and up to the point now where we have one poll that's over 60% support for legalization. We have got 19 polls that are above 50% for legalization. That's why we're winning, and I think we've crossed the Rubicon at this point. We are over the top, and this is not going to go down anymore. It's going to continue to grow up and up and up, and we're going to legalize all 50 states in America. All right. Let me check something real quick here. We got a late start here, so I'm not sure where I'm at. Oh, almost done. All right. Let's take a quick look at medical marijuana. This is the medical marijuana map right now. These are the states that have medical marijuana, right? 24 of them plus Washington, D.C., and I don't have D.C. on the thing there, but 24 states with medical marijuana. I don't like this map. I don't like it. Because this map pretends that California medical marijuana, oh, I forgot Illinois, shit, is like Illinois medical marijuana, or is like New York medical marijuana, and they're not. The medical marijuana on the East Coast is vastly different than the medical marijuana on the West Coast. I like to break the medical marijuana states down like this. From 1996 to 2008, we have what I call medical grow or medical garden states. These are the states that allow patients to grow their own medicine without restriction. If you're a patient in one of those states, you can grow a marijuana cannabis plant, harvest it, use it. But after 2008, something happened. From 2010 to 2014, we added Arizona, Illinois, New Hampshire, Massachusetts, Connecticut, New Jersey, Delaware, and Maryland. And none of those states lets every patient grow a plant. None of them. Arizona started by saying, if you live within 25 miles of a dispensary, you don't get to grow. Well, guess what? There's so many dispensaries in Arizona now, 97.2% of Arizonans live within 25 miles of a dispensary. So effectively, 2.8% of Arizonans can home grow. And similar things happen. New Jersey, you have to buy from a dispensary. Illinois, you have to buy from a dispensary. Massachusetts will let you home grow if you can prove a hardship, if you can prove it's really too hard. Then we've got these two states, New York and Minnesota, in 2014. I don't even call them medical marijuana states. To me, it's not a medical marijuana state if you can't hold the marijuana in your hand. What they let you have in Minnesota or New York are extracts of THC and CBD. You can have certain extracts, but not anything you can smoke or vaporize. That ain't medical marijuana. Then, starting with Utah in 2014, we've seen 15 states now that are CBD only. You've seen these, right? The little girls with epilepsy, and they allow them to have CBD oil that won't get you high. So again, not even not just the whole plant. You can't even have THC now. It varies. Some of these, like Georgia, will let you have up to 5% THC. That's the best. Most of them, you have to be below 0.3% THC. One of them, North Carolina, mandates that you have, that's Virginia, North Carolina, there we go. One of them, North Carolina, mandates that the THC to CBD ratio must be 1 to 20. You must have 20 times the CBD that you have of THC. That's real hard. That's real hard. Now, as far as states with potential for 2016, Louisiana is almost medical right now. It's on the governor's desk. He just has to sign it. In fact, he may have signed it, and I just missed it yesterday. But what's interesting is Louisiana's actually had medical marijuana since 1991. They had medical marijuana before California. Problem was, they didn't have any laws on who could grow it, who could sell it, and what you had to do to get it. So it was legal to have medical marijuana. There was just no place to get medical marijuana. Well, this new bill would fix that. It would create the system, it'd create the growers, it'd create the dispensaries, and they'd finally have medical marijuana in Louisiana. And it would be medical marijuana that would allow patients to grow plants. It'd be amazing. Florida, they'll be back on the ballot with medical marijuana in 2016. They narrowly lost their constitutional amendment. It got 58% of the vote. Huh? I thought 58 meant you win. Not in Florida, because Florida is Florida. In Florida, you got to get 60% to pass a constitutional amendment. They got 58. And part of the reason why is because Sheldon Adelson, this billionaire casino magnate out of Las Vegas, pumped in $4.5 million in negative attack ads to help defeat it. We've also got the chance on Ohio for 2016, or if that responsible Ohio passes, they'll have medical in 2015. And then finally, Pennsylvania also looks like it finally might move past the logjam and get something medical. All right, the real final part. 2016 election, you're going to have a choice to vote for president. I present to you the presidential candidates, and my God, are there a lot of them. It's like a clown car, man. They just keep coming and coming and coming. But here are the Republican candidates, and I think it's notable that out of the, 13? Yeah, 13 Republican presidential candidates, not one of them is pro-legalization. However, half of them are really anti-legalization. Chris Christie, for example, the governor of New Jersey, said, I would crack down and not permit marijuana legalization. He would literally send in the DEA to Colorado, Washington, Oregon, Alaska, and shut it down. The rest of them are very much against it as well. Carson's okay with medical marijuana, but the rest of these guys, they are not going to allow it. But these other Republicans are like, well, I don't like legalization, but if Colorado wants to legalize, that's okay. These are the states' rights guys. Not in my state, but if hippy-dippy Oregon wants to do it, that's okay. So these are your 10th Amendment type Republicans. And then among the Democrats, they're all non-committal on this right now. Secretary Hillary Clinton says we need more research. We need more research. You know, 5,000 years just isn't quite enough research. Governor Lincoln Chafee, he actually signed a decrim bill, so he's pretty friendly. Governor Martin O'Malley, he says he's not much in favor, but he also signed some medical and decrim laws. And Bernie Sanders, I think he's for it, but he hasn't officially said it. He says, I'm going to look into it. If you're looking for the one 2016 presidential candidate who is completely 100% in favor of legalization, it's me. Write me in. All right, folks, my name is Russ Belville from The Russ Belville Show, RadicalRuss.com. I'm Radical Russ everywhere, Facebook, Twitter, Tinder, for hell's sake. I don't know, but I'm Radical Russ everywhere. If you're looking for me, SoundCloud, YouTube, Radical Russ. Thank you for being with me. 420 Radio is where I work. Appreciate you listening.